WPKY Saturday Morning Quarterback Show is on the air on 1580, 103.3 WPKY and WPKYonline.com. Time to take a look back at last night's Caldwell game. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
The 2023 high school football season is underway. The Caldwell County Tigers opening up things last night over in Morton's Gap against the Hopkins County Central Storm. Tigers took a 14-6 lead to the fourth quarter, but Hopkins County Central came up with a pair of touchdowns in that final period to pull out a 20-14 victory over the Tigers in the season opener. Good morning, everyone. We're at the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery on West Main Street this morning. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and your SportsEdge.com. Tiger football coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley with us on the show this morning. And Coach McClung, thought a really good effort from the team last night. The guys really gave the effort, but maybe the execution in some spots, fair to say, could have been a little better at times.
Yeah, we did a lot of good things. You know, we're a young football team, and kids played hard, and we had a lot of cramping last night with it being the first game. But we just had too many penalties, too many mental mistakes, and when it came down in the fourth quarter, they made more plays than we did.
Felt like when we had the lead 14-6, that it's just a one touchdown lead, but the way the game was going, it kind of felt like we were in control of that thing.
Yeah, we had a couple chances, especially in the end of the first half and going into the third quarter, where we could have got up two scores, and I really think we would have had a chance to put them away at that point. And you know, we let those opportunities slip away from us, and it came back and bit us in the fourth quarter.
Had some problems with guys cramping up a little bit last night. I guess that's kind of a typical first game thing.
Yeah, that tends to be something that happens the first game. And, you know, going into the game, I thought that would be a problem they would have more than we would have. But it kind of flipped the other way. We had some really important kids for us start cramping into the first quarter, second quarter. And it really limited some things that we were planning on doing on offense. We had to throw in some people that didn't have as many reps, and it really affected us as the game went on.
Jeff talked about how the defense played last night. Those guys up front looked pretty stout.
I thought we did a great job against the run. I think coming into the game, we were really concerned about their big senior running back. I forgot the kid's name, number 32, but on film he had done good things, and you know, was a good hard working kid, and really got downhill, and we kind of challenged the kids this week to, you know, step up against the run, and I felt for the most part we did that. You know, I think we did a pretty good job of handling things. We kind of limited. We got our back against the wall a couple times and kind of got off the field. And, you know, we gave up some plays on third and long, fourth and long. Seems like it's been our Achilles a little bit. We're going to have to get that fixed. But, you know, getting the young kids some reps in the secondary was big. I think that's something we're going to have to work on. And, you know, moving forward, I'm pretty pleased overall. Obviously, we wanted to win the game, and we didn't get stops at the end we needed to get. So that's some things we're going to have to work on as well. But, you know, pleased with our effort primarily against the run.
Yeah, you mentioned some third down and fourth down plays. I think maybe the key play of the game was a fourth and 10 that Hopkins Central converted. It led to the tying touchdown. You make the stop there and get the ball back, you got to be feeling pretty good about your chances with 9 minutes to go.
Yeah, that's kind of – if I had any criticisms of how we played defensively last night, it would be that, you know, we kind of – there at the end when we really needed to get a pass rush and get that quarterback on the ground, we didn't do as good a job as we should to get that done. And you know, we're just going to go back and work on that and work on rush lanes and containing guys that can run a little bit, because we'll see a three or four more running quarterbacks before the year's over.
Well, how much of a difference did it make when Hopkins Central brought in the other quarterback there in the fourth quarter?
I thought that kid sparked them. I don't know their situation over there and why he was the backup. And, you know, that's not for me to say because I'm not there doing their stuff. But I thought he was kind of the difference in the game. When he came in, I think their offense picked up. I think their pace on offense picked up. I think their execution on offense picked up. And he made some plays with his legs that ultimately ended up being the difference in the game.
When you going in, we had some young kids in the secondary. I think Hopkins Central tried to take advantage of that a few times, but those kids also made some plays for you last night.
Yeah, I think, they're in that first drive. They kind of went at Dalen a couple times, and, you know, he ended up getting an interception to end that drive, which was a big deal. I think we're pretty excited about him. He was a terrific football player in the youth football and in middle school, and is a good athlete, and we expect some big things out of him. It's just a matter of getting some reps for him. And the same thing with the other two kids, you know, the sophomore corners, they're good athletes and good hardworking kids who want to do well. And, you know, they're just going to have to get out there and get reps. And it's tough. You know, sometimes it's easy for us non-athletes to watch those guys in the secondary and think, man, why didn't they do this or why didn't they do that? But, you know, kind of timing when you attack the ball compared to when you play the receiver. And, you know, that's just reps and varsity speed reps. And they'll get better as they go because they're good kids and they work hard and they want to do well.
Yeah, you're kind of just out there on an island by yourself sometimes.
Yeah, and you're the last line of defense, yeah. And everybody sees you. You know, if you don't make a play, everybody sees it. So that's kind of part of playing that position. But those are kids that can handle it, and you know we're excited about getting those guys out there, and you know just got to get a little better, and they'll learn, and Coach Kane and Coach Wood to get them going, and you know we're excited about our future there.
Yeah. Aaron, you have to feel like most nights if you hold the other team to 221 yards and get four turnovers, probably going to win that game.
Yeah, you look at that stat. When I looked at it this morning, I was like, man, we really missed an opportunity to win, because those are the underlying statistics that usually indicate who won the game. But, you know, they just, you know, Hopkins Central, give them credit. They stepped up in the fourth quarter, and those two drives, they were killers.
Really tough to stop the big kid, the McNary kid. I mean, their last touchdown came from probably less than a foot out. I mean, it's really tough to try to make that play.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, we held him to 26 yards, and he was over a 1,000-yard rusher last year.
Yeah.
And he's one of the top backs in the area. So we did a great job containing him all night. But when you got 230, 240-pound back, it's hard to keep him from getting less than a foot.
Yeah. Two touchdowns there. We mentioned the one early in the fourth quarter, then the other one late in the fourth quarter for the McNary kid that kind of swung the game. But what were they doing to us defensively where we couldn't extend that lead a little bit once we got it?
Well, they were really physical up front. Their front guys were really physical. I have some new starters on the offensive line. You know, we wanted to establish the run game against them early, and seemed like every time we'd get some yards, a rush in the ball, or get a first down, the next set of downs, we would get a holding penalty. And we were running the ball well, but when you're not throwing the ball very well down the field, and we weren't, and you get set back to first and 17 or second and 20, it really puts you in a bind, puts a lot of pressure on your offense. You know, we got to stay on track and stay, you know, we want to get the right down and distance. We want to get thirds and shorts and to keep it going, and we didn't do that last night for various reasons.
I think there were, 25 penalties that were accepted between the two teams last night for about 230 or 240 yards. We kind of joked on the ball game broadcast last night that the referees were going to have to ice down their arms after the game from throwing all those flags.
There was a bunch of them, and, you know, some of them were stuff that I don't know if I've ever seen. I think we had four face mask penalties called on us. I don't know if I've ever been on a team that had four face mask penalties called, and those penalties were really crucial. I think a couple of them were in the fourth quarter that extended their drives. You know, they had a drive that started way back near their end zone.
Yeah, around the 15, I think.
Yeah, and then they got a 12-yard run, and then they tacked on a 15-yard face mask penalty. And that really helped them at the end of the game to get those calls. So.
Well, and you guys had one touchdown call back because of a penalty.
And it was a crucial one, too, because it was we'd had a long drive right before halftime, and we put ourselves in a position where we could score right before halftime. We run a stretch play to Gus. He basically walks in the end zone, and he gets called back for holding, so we have to settle for an attempted field goal, and then we missed the field goal. So that was a chance to go up 21-6 before half. I really think that would have gone a long way in that game.
When you look at maybe some of the offensive struggles late in the contest, I mean, obviously when you take Gus out of there and Landon Davis was out, those are two pretty big parts of the offense.
Yeah, one time I think we're on our fourth string F, which is our running back. So,
yeah.
You know, any time that you have to go to your fourth guy who has probably zero offensive varsity reps, you know, you're. But the kid stepped in. He didn't do a bad job. Christian Coleman, you know, he's a young kid, but he ran out there and did his best. He did a good job. So, but you know, we gotta try to keep our kids out there.
there are a lot of unknowns when you go into that first game of the season. At least you get some stuff now. You can see yourselves on film and kind of have an idea of what you need to work on now moving forward.
Yeah, we know what we need to work on. And, you know, Luke Parker, he'll get better with every game he plays. At quarterback, you know, this is basically probably not a totally new offense, but it's a new offense. Yeah. It's a new offensive coordinator. He's learning about his linemen. The protection was good at times last night. At times it was so-so. I think it'll get better as we go on. And then as he gets more comfortable in the pocket and we figure out the pass plays that are best for him and we keep his best receivers on the field not cramping, I think he's just going to keep getting better.
Now, was Hopkins Central bringing some extra people at times?
They were, but they never brought more than five people. We weren't really sure exactly how they were going to play us. They're a 4-3 team, and they hadn't shown any blitzes in their scrimmages. So they showed some outside linebacker blitzes, and they got to us a few times. But, you know, that's something we'll get better at. We'll get two films on people in the future, and we'll see the actual game footage. We'll see the blitzes, and we'll do a better job of picking that stuff up.
Did you have any injuries last night to speak of? Was it mostly just the cramps that was keeping people on the sideline?
We had a couple other little injuries. You know, Maurice, he went out late in the game. You know, we don't know what his standing will be. And we had Landon Davis took a shot on his hip, so we don't really know what his standing would be. He was walking around at the end of the game, but we'll have to evaluate those guys on Monday.
Again, talking about the defense, though, that defensive front, I'm not sure you guys gave up hardly anything in the middle of the field to their ground game last night.
Yeah, that's really a really good group of kids. You know, you got a sophomore, Cooper Mobley, playing linebacker. Landon Davis played linebacker. Jack Roach played some linebacker. And then you got Cole Sherrill, Maurice Hollowell, and Jack Roach are playing defensive end spots. Maurice Seals. And then, Gus and Wolford play outside linebackers, and they were the returning starting outside linebackers from last year. So we feel like that's really a solid group of guys that we're going to rely on the whole season, and you know, they did a good job. We had a young kid have to step in and play some for Gus, Derek Wilson. He's going to be a really good – player for us. He got some reps last night. That's probably the most reliable part of our team right now.
They say that teams make their biggest jump from game one to game two of a season. So is that kind of the challenge now to get ready for Madisonville North Hopkins next week?
Well, it is. It's a brand new week. You know, we're 0-1, and Madisonville is 0-1. They're young as well. You know, I think they'll be a little more athletic than Hopkins Central, but they're going to be a similar kind of team talent-wise. Hopkins Central probably had a little more speed. So we'll be up to the challenge, I hope.
Last year's game over there, if you look at the final score, it didn't look very competitive, but there were some chances early in the game for the Tigers to get out in front, maybe build a bit of a lead, and we kind of missed on those, and then bad things snowballed from there. But that Caldwell-Madisonville game is usually pretty competitive.
Yeah, I think last year's game, we played them really close up to halftime, and then they really hurt us throwing the ball deep late in the game. So I think we're improved in the secondary this year, so hopefully we'll give them a better game this year.
We're talking this morning with coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley. This is Saturday Morning Quarterback from the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery on West Main Street. Tigers falling to Hopkins County Central 20-14 in the season opener last night over at Morton's Gap. We need to get to a break. We'll come back and have more after this. Stay with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
The Saturday Morning Quarterback Show continues on WPKY. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Caldwell County football coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley with us this morning on Saturday Morning Quarterback, live from the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery on West Main Street. Tigers opening up the season last night over at Hopkins County Central, but dropping a 20-14 decision to the Storm. First time the two teams have met since 2010, so Coach McClung, good to get Hopkins Central back on the schedule. Not like we talked about it in the pregame last night before the football contest, that Hopkins County Central is a district opponent for Caldwell County in just about everything but football. Not a district game in football, but an easy trip and a good game to have on there.
It's a good game. It was a good crowd last night. You know, it's a game we'll probably try to keep in the future. It's close. We're both pretty similar in size of our schools. So, you know, our kids are kind of it's a little bit of a rivalry that it can get chippy sometimes. But, you know, I think the kids did a good job of keeping their emotions in check and playing a competitive football game. I know it was probably a pretty entertaining game for the fans. I just wish that the results would have been flip-flopped.
Well, and one thing I didn't realize until we got there last night, there's now a trophy associated with that game.
Yeah, the Mike Cyber Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and they gave a player of the game, and we took a team picture. It was a pretty cool the MVP trophy was pretty cool looking.
Yeah. So, got to get that trophy back next year, right?
Yes.
One thing I wanted to bring up, and, of course, last night ended a long streak. Everyone remembers Philip and Pam Phelps have been to 423 straight games.
Yeah.
Philip died back in April, and Pam was not at the game last night. So that streak has come to an end. But, man, what a streak that goes back 37 years or whatever.
It's an unbelievable streak because I know since I've coached here 20 years, there's been some games where the weather was – where I've looked in the stands and there wasn't very many people in the stands. I remember Muhlenberg South game when it came a monsoon and the rain was blowing sideways across the field. My pockets were full of water. And he was at those games. So I know he's attended some games in rather unsavory conditions. So that's a pretty impressive streak to go all the way back to 1986.
I remember Philip would always tell the head coach that he was with you, win or tie.
That sounds like him.
But, you know, for years, this show was on from Druthers Restaurant, which Philip owned just down the street, Philip and Pam. So, interesting they had the long streak there. I hate that it had to come to an end, but, again, that's quite the run. And I don't think they've ever missed a scrimmage.
Really?
Yeah.
He was a big football fan. They were big football fans. So I remember he would show up out of practice every once in a while asking questions. So, you know, he was the number one fan, so he will be missed.
Yeah, Jeff, I don't know if you guys remember Coach G's days or not, but Coach G was famous for saying, "Let me buy you dinner," and then giving you a chicken coupon from Druthers.
It's funny. I was sitting there thinking about, what if we get somebody to give us some chicken box coupons just in memory of Mr. Phelps and that would be a pretty neat thing because that's, you know, one of the things, you know, I'm not from here, didn't play here, but you talk to guys who do, and that's one of the things they talk about all the time is Coach G handing out chicken boxes. Yeah. And, you know, Bradley and Wayne, you talk about that stuff all the time and how that was kind of, you know, a big part of them growing up. So it's definitely a special memory, and it's, you know, something that I know Mr. Phelps's family will cherish and have and take that memory and commitment to this program and this community with them.
Taking a look at some other scores last night, we mentioned that Hopkins Central beat the Tigers 20-14. A couple of future opponents coming up pretty quickly. Hooked up last night, Union County beat Madisonville North Hopkins 21-14. And, Coach, that's your next two opponents.
Yeah, and, you know, we've already talked about Madisonville, but I know Union County had one of their best teams in the school history last year, and they graduated some really good kids, but I think they're still going to be tough. Obviously, they're still a tough opponent. I read an article. Coach John said this was his strongest in the weight room team that he's ever had, so I'm sure that they're still a tough physical team that we'll see in a couple weeks.
Well, Union County spent some time trying to build that program, and you know, I think they're seeing the results of that the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. You know, Union County's always – they've always been a tough football team, like physically. They've always been a team that is going to come out and hit and be play good defense. And, you know, they've really gotten better on how they run their offense and stuff. And, you know, they've always had some good athletes over there too, and they've just figured out that, you know, how to score points now as well as play good defense. And, you know, it's made them one of the top teams in this end of the state.
I think Hopkins County Central is probably another school that's trying to lay a foundation for a really good football program. I mean, you see them getting better and better, but they've always been, I think, competing against some of the bigger schools in Class 4A. The drop to 3A might help them quite a bit.
Yeah, I think they'll be a very competitive team in 3A. You know, they're in there with Trigg County and, you know, Hancock, who we scrimmaged.
McLean County,
who we played. Yeah. So Hawkins Central will be, they'll be very competitive with those teams. You know, I was looking at their schedule. You know, I want to, obviously we wanted to win, but, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see them win 7 or 8 games this year. I think when we look back, we'll think, all right, we should have won that game, but that I think they'll end up being a good football team record-wise when you look at how they do this season.
Now, Madisonville is kind of the opposite. Madisonville kind of has a storied football tradition.
Yeah, Madisonville does a good job. They always have – I've always been impressed with the caliber of athletes they have over there. And Chris Price is their head coach. He played at Western after I did, and he was a – fantastic football player. He's a big, tough guy, and you can guarantee that that's the style that they'll play. They'll be tough, physical, and plus they'll have some really good athletes.
Now, with one game under your belt, do you change the way you approach this week's game? Is anything different in practice?
I don't think we'll change a whole lot. You know, I feel like we do a lot of things on offense that's going to work. We just need to get better at the execution of it. You know, we got to line up faster. We got to, you know, fine-tune our route running. You know, Luke will get better on the accuracy of his passing. I really feel like offensively that we've got the pieces and we've got the scheme. We've just got to do a better job of executing it.
Looking at some more scores from last night, Mayfield big over Graves County, 42-7, and again, two future opponents for you guys right there.
You know, Graves County will be a big physical team. You know, I was looking at some of the stats of that game. Graves had 10 first downs to 1 from Mayfield in the first half last night. But Mayfield just big played them. Yeah. Mayfield just big played their touchdowns. But you know, I know that score looked bad, but I think that game played out a little closer than that score reflects. So Graves will be a solid opponent, and you know, obviously we know what we're going to get with Mayfield. Mayfield's probably one of the best teams in 2A in the whole state.
Now, mentioning Graves County comes to Tiger Stadium. Jeff, are we going to honor the state championship teams that night?
Yeah, that's the plan. That's the second one, yeah. So the second home game, yeah, well, that's the plan. We're going to try to get some information out about that and try to give, you know, a significant, was it, 60
years 60 for the 63 team and 25 for the 98
yeah.
team.
Yeah, and so, yeah, we're going to have a night of state champions and welcome those guys back and probably have a little thing at halftime and honor those dudes. And see, you know, all the details haven't been put together, but we'll put something together and, you know, try to have a little, you know, maybe a little reception with some finger food or something if the weather holds out. And, yeah.
Well, that's early enough in the season. They should have good weather that night.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. We hope we can get a bunch of people there. I know I've talked to Coach Stevens about that, and he, you know, he's kind of going to be my point man for that. Yeah. So hopefully he can get the message out, and you know, of course, having Coach Gates here in town will help get the message out to the 98 guys. So.
Well, I think we've talked about it before, but as you go back through Tiger football history, all the way back to even 1911. I think there's always been a Stevens on the roster.
Yeah.
If there's one name that's been on that roster more often than any, it's Stevens.
Yeah, well, and it's good. I'm glad to have we're in the midst of the run of three we've got now. So those are all really good kids, and of course Jack graduated, but we've got Eli and Drew, and you know, looking for big things out of them. And Eli stepped into a starting role, and I don't think it'll be long till Drew finds his way on the field either.
Yeah, and that number 12 has ended up with a Stevens a lot.
Yeah, we've kind of, you know, we've tried to make sure that happened. At least I asked Eli if he was going to give it to Drew, and he said no, not till I'm gone. So we got Drew in 21.
I was going to say he's 2-1 instead of 1-2. Yeah. So there you go. Checking some more scores. Crittenden County with a win over at Webster County, 31-8. Of course, we'll see the Rockets down in Marion this year, and that's a district game now.
Yeah, and I think their quarterback played really well. You know, he was in the Channel 6 top 10 players, and from what I've seen, he played really well last night, so I look forward to that game.
Fort Campbell with a win over Clarksville Northwest last night, 20-17. Greenwood beat Hopkinsville 49-14. Of course, Fort Campbell and Hoptown off the schedule this year.
Yep. Those are schools that we knew we were going to have to drop them in the future because of the consolidation, and of course we lost Fort Campbell because they're not in our district anymore. Yeah.
Now, another future opponent did play last night. Christian County was in action. Franklin Simpson, though, defeated the Colonels 40-28.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about them yet. I think Christian County has some really good athletic kids. I was talking to one of Hopkins Central's coaches who used to work over there. He said they have all low numbers, but they have some really good skill kids. So,
well, and consolidation is coming over there when Hopkinsville and Christian County combine, and I think that's still the plan for next season. That's going to be an entirely different school and an entirely different beast to have to deal with on the schedule.
Yeah, that'll be the only time we ever play them, probably.
Well, you've got some big schools on the schedule this year, on McCracken County being on there, and we talked about this before, too, that, you know, there's no 1A schools on the schedule. The only 2A schools are the district teams. Everybody else is 3A, 4A, 5A, and 6A.
You know, and I really think that's how it needs to be. You know, I think this community wants to win state championships or wants to compete for state championships. And the way you do that is you play quality opponents throughout the season. You know, there's not a lot of 1A teams down here to pick from. And I don't think the 1A teams down here we need to be playing. I mean, they're not really going to help us. So we need to play teams like Hopkins Central and Madisonville. And those are teams that we can compete with. And I know that they're tough opponents sometimes, but we want to. Our goal in this season is not to win. It's not to go undefeated. Obviously, that may be a goal, but we want to prepare to try to win playoff games, and that's how you do it. You play tough opponents throughout the year.
Well, I mentioned it this week. I'd rather be 5-5 and prepared for the playoffs than 8-2 and not ready for the playoffs.
I totally agree. I mean, I would rather. You know, obviously, you want to have a perfect season, a perfect record, but in the end, you're trying to get to Lexington. And your record doesn't always have that big of an effect. You know, if you're a playoff prepared team and you're peaking at the end of the season where you start winning playoff games and you get on a roll, that's how you really make a season special, those deep runs into the playoffs.
Well, just a couple of years ago, I think Paducah Tillman was 5-5 and made the championship game. And I think a few years before that, Louisville Central was like 4-6 maybe during the regular season. And I think 1-3A that year.
Well, I told the kids last night after the game, if you go back to the 2012 season, when we played in the finals, we lost the first game of the season to Callaway County.
Yeah.
And they won 3 games the whole year. And that was a bad loss. But, you know, that helped prepare us and helped us realize that we had a lot of work to do, motivated the kids, and we turned that season into great. And we had some other losses during that season that were bad losses. But those losses prepared us, and we got on a roll in the playoffs, and we almost won the state championship.
Yeah, the regular season finale that year was down at Mayfield, and that was kind of a tough game. And I don't think anybody left Mayfield that night thinking, hey, this team's going to be in the state championship game in 5 weeks.
I remember that game. I left that game thinking we're about to go get beat in the first round of the playoffs based on how we played in that game.
You talked about the schedule a little bit earlier, and we've talked about the bigger schools being on there. But, you know, as you look around the area anymore, and, Jeff, you can talk about this too, because of consolidation, there's not a lot of smaller schools around. I mean, you start looking at who's not on the schedule, and there's really not that many teams within an hour drive or so that we don't play.
No more Heath, Reedland, or Lone Oaks around. No more Muhlenberg South and Muhlenberg North. Yeah, you're right. There's a consolidation has really kind of made it tough to field, you know, a variety of teams. So you're just kind of, you know, and scheduling's tough because both teams got to want to play and both teams got to have a date to play. So, you know, sometimes when people are like, well, why are we playing the McCracken counties of the world? Because they had a need and we had a need.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you don't want to drive to, you know, somewhere around Nashville or, you know, halfway across the state, you just kind of have to, you know, you're going to have to play some of these local teams that happen to be big. And, you know, and then you can try to play some teams, but there are some local teams that, for whatever reason, we can't work it out to play. So just the way it goes, you know, you try to get on their schedule. And if you both have teams don't have a date and can't agree, then you just don't play unless it's a district game. And that's the way it goes.
Yeah, those open dates have to match up. That's why one year we ended up at West Carroll, Tennessee.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Crittenden County had to go to a team just north of Nashville last year to play. And, you know, they're in the same boat as we are. So if you look at their schedule and our schedule, it's very similar. simply because, you know, they're now a 2A team looking for somebody to play. So you look comparatively, that's just, if you're not, you know, if you don't want to take these 3-hour trips like we did to Greene County that one time, you just have to play who's willing to play sometimes.
But Greene County, everybody got to make the side trip to
drugs. Well, yeah, there was a that was a good side part to the Greene County trip, is getting to have some druthers memories, I guess.
So if we've got to have a trip, you know, Greene County, Campbellsville,
Taylor County,
yeah, all those up that way.
Yeah, those are some pretty good football teams too.
We're talking with Kaawa County football coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley on the Saturday Morning Quarterback Show, live from the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery on West Main Street. We need to get to a break, but we'll come back and talk some more football with the coaches right after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
The Saturday Morning Quarterback Show continues on WPKY. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Caldwell County opening up the 2023 season last night over at Morton's Gap, but falling to Hopkins County Central 20-14. Tigers in action again next Friday. Another trip to Hopkins County, but this time to the north part of the county against Madisonville North Hopkins. We are back on Saturday Morning Quarterback, live from the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery. Tiger coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley with us on the show. And, guys, one thing that I was kind of excited about last night, we actually had a coin toss at midfield before the game.
Yeah, we did. We had a real coin toss. We went out and called tails, and because tails never fails, Todd.
Yeah, it worked, you know, and you deferred like you probably should.
That's
all the
right.
time.
That's right.
Is that a 100% thing with you, or just kind of feel of the game?
Oh, yeah, I'm always going to defer. Yeah. You always want to get the ball to start the second half. You know, you get a stop to start the game, and you get a chance to pick up that extra possession, and then come back. And, you know, if you can end the first half with a possession and then start the first half of the possession, it's like you get an extra one. So,
well, it almost worked out perfectly because you almost got the score right before halftime and then had the ball coming out of the break.
Yes. I know that, Todd.
Tigers, again, dropping a close one last night. More sports action on tap today, though. Jeff, we have some second region All-A Classic action.
It's All-A day, yeah. Todd. It's All-A Saturday. Our boys' golf team's over playing in the All, probably right now, actually, playing in the All-A at the Pinnerile. And, you know, we wish those guys luck, and maybe they can, you know, put together a couple of nice rounds over at the state park and give them a chance to go to, I don't even know where it is.
It's state, up around Richmond.
Richmond, yeah. That's what I was going to say. So they, hopefully that, so those guys are out knocking around the links today and tonight. Both our soccer teams are in action at Crittenden County, but they're playing UHA.
Yeah.
So UHA's got to drive past us to go play.
but that maybe that's an advantage for the Caldwell teams.
Man, it is.
UHA is going to spend the extra
right.
time on
extra
the bus.
30 minutes on the bus and getting over there. But no, the girls play at 5 and guys play right after. It'll probably be around 7. So head on over to Crittenden County, and their soccer field's out by where the baseball field and the track are out there at the park. And they are they're hosting the All-A, so we're going to play UHA for second region All-A championship tonight. So good luck to those guys and girls and Coach Miller and Coach Reed, and see if we can get a little hardware in the trophy case.
And again, that's at the Marion City Park.
Yeah, Marion City Park. It's just like it's too complicated to try to give directions over the airways, but if you know how to go to their track or their baseball field, the soccer is at the same complex.
Turn right at the sewer plant.
I was going to say, is it easier to go the back way or go the other?
I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll just go up. You'll find it. Marion's a small town. You can get there.
And tickets, do we need any ticket information for the soccer games?
Well, the soccer tickets are GoFan, so you'll have to go to Crittenden County's GoFan. There's no cash. They won't take any cash, so you need to buy a ticket, GoFan. If you don't want to do digital ticketing, they said they will take a credit card at the gate. So you can do that, but for speed, my recommendation is go ahead and download that GoFan app and buy that ticket there, and it'll make it a whole lot easier before you get there.
And most of our ticketing is done through that now, right?
Yeah, we'll take a limited amount of cash. You know, we want to keep that provided that option. We prefer the digital ticketing. It's just more efficient for us. But if you If you insist on cash, we're not going to turn down your cash.
Well, talking about second region All-A Classic golf, Caldwell County's Colin Whittington won that thing 2 years ago when it was played out at Princeton Golf Club.
Yeah, we hosted a couple years ago, and Colin was the individual winner and got to go on to play it, stay a little bit, so hopefully he can repeat that today.
and an unknown guy named Travis Perry won that thing last year.
Well, I think there's probably a little family competition there. There's probably some bragging rights going on at the family reunion as they knock it around today. So maybe Colin can get the upper hand on him this time around.
Oh, and going back to the coin toss thing, I was going to bring up that we haven't seen that forever because COVID took away the coin toss back in 2020.
Yeah, and I didn't make it out. You're supposed to be – head coaches are supposed to be out there 5 minutes before the game to walk out to do the coin toss. And of course, I wasn't out there because it's been so long since they've done it, and I didn't remember it, so we had to hustle out there.
I told the referees it was your first game as head coach. They understood.
Well, and you know, I couldn't find you at halftime either last night, so I talked to Coach Stallings, but – you know, you were quick to get off the field at halftime.
Yeah, you're going to have to be standing next to me when that clock runs down here in catch me time. Because I'm not thinking about that.
You might get some of those Nick Saban quotes if you get too fast.
We're talking with football coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley on the sideline report this morning. We need to get to a break, but we'll come back and have more from the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery. Stay with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
The Saturday Morning Quarterback Show continues on WPKY. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
We are back at the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery on West Main Street in Princeton. We appreciate them hosting Saturday Morning Quarterback for the second straight season. Coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley with us. The Tigers opening up the 2023 football season last night, but falling over at Hopkins County Central in a close game, 20-14. Caldwell County headed over to Madisonville North Hopkins next week. But, guys, you have a JV game coming up on Monday.
We do. JV plays at 6, and we have a lot of young kids that will get a chance to play. We especially have a lot of young linemen that will get a chance to play. And that's Monday night will be their chance to show what they got.
Jeff, a busy time for the Caldwell County Athletic Department. Seems like there's more events on the fall sports schedule than any other time of the year.
Yeah, there are. One of the things I'd like to mention is, we're going to open up our season ticket renewals. I've kind of been holding off, hoping to kind of get that all digital. It's probably not going to work out this year. So if you're a season ticket holder and you want to renew your season tickets, please get in contact with me at the school this week, and we'll get that taken care of. You obviously have first rights to your seats that you had last year, and then if you're interested in buying new seats, we'll open those up next week before the first home game, and for new season ticket purchases. So I appreciate you letting me mention that.
Does it make it a little easier on you guys that the first couple of games for football are on the road, and then we don't open at home until the third week?
Yeah, it did in that aspect this year. My goal was to get everything switched over to GoFan as far as our season tickets, and there's an avenue to do that, but We didn't get it done, so we're going to just do it like we did last year. We'll open up, we'll have a list, and you'll have your seats, and we'll just check you off as you come in.
Well, the good thing is when you play your first two games on the road, 5 of your last 8 are at home.
Yes, yeah, that is good. And you know, we've got a good home schedule this year. We've had a little hiccup. We're going to have to move the Christian County game to a Thursday night on the 21st, which it's not ideal, but because of our referee situation, there's only so many crews to go around, and you know, I think they mentioned it some last night. We had to kind of bump that game up to a Thursday night. So be a little unusual event for us having a Thursday night game, but that just gives you an extra day for the next week. So.
Yeah. Coach McClung, a pretty attractive home schedule for you guys this year that includes a trip or a visit from Mayfield out at Tiger Stadium.
Yeah, we play a lot of good teams that have, you know, solid football programs traditionally. They'll bring a lot of fans. You know, we go there, we'll take a lot of fans there. So hopefully it'll help our athletic budget out. You know, that gate money is crucial to our entire athletic budget. So that's why one of the reasons why we want to schedule these good football programs, because it helps support all of our Caldwell County athletes.
And several big nights. We mentioned we're going to honor the 1963 state champs, the 1998 state champs. We'll have Football Hall of Fame night later, homecoming, senior night. So lots of reasons to come out and watch the Tigers.
Yeah.
Probably throw a Little League football night in there too.
All right, next week we're headed to Madisonville North Hopkins, and Coach, give us a quick scouting report on what we can expect from the Maroons.
Well, they'll run a spread offense. I'm not sure what they'll run defensively yet, but our kids know their kids. It'll be a competitive, a little bit of a rivalry game. Should be a competitive game to similar talent level teams, I feel like, and hopefully we'll come out on top this time.
All right, Tigers headed to Madisonville, North Hopkins, and don't forget All-A Classic action today, golf playing over at Pennyrail, and the soccer teams down at Crittenden County today taking on University Heights Academy in the second region All-A Classic championship games, girls at 5, guys right after that. So, guys, appreciate you coming in and being on the show this morning.
No problem. Right, thanks, Todd.
That's Tiger football coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and YourSportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for listening to Saturday Morning Quarterback live from the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.